You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 485 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland. It is Monday evening. I'm live here at State Farm Arena in the aftermath of what was a 128-111 loss for the Hawks at the hands of the Golden State Warriors. No big surprise in the final result, obviously, as the Warriors are the best team in the league when they're all going well. To be fair, the Warriors were without Draymond Green in this spot, but still they had three of the top 20 players in the world, to be conservative, when it comes to Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant, and that was pretty much the difference in this game. Obviously, the Hawks did compete at times here. The first quarter was kind of the bloodbath quarter that the Hawks always seem to have. There's always one, and this time around it was the first. But, you know, that's sort of the headliner of this game, as well as the fact that Torian Prince left this contest in the second half with what was diagnosed as a left ankle sprain. We'll talk more about that later. But Lloyd Pierce was not very happy in the aftermath of this game. That Prince was injured, but B, that the Warriors were not called for a flagrant foul. They thought I think rightly so, and watching the replay back, that the Warriors should have been assessed with a flagrant foul, as the NBA wants to make that an emphasis. Pierce showed some more fire than you probably would normally see from him. Obviously, the game was not great either. I'm sure that sort of contributed to it, but I don't think he's very happy at the prospect of being without sort of the starting small forward on this roster for a little while here. Nothing definitive on Prince, but you know, with the way that seemed, I think he might be out for a little bit, and we'll keep an eye on that, obviously. But that was sort of the backdrop of this game, other than the fact that, of course, the Hawks lost by 17 points. So, as we always do on the podcast, we'll start at the beginning and sort of work our way down in this one. I will say that sort of the circus is always in town. When the Warriors come to town, the doors open 30 minutes early here at State Farm Arena, and of course the media contingent was sort of off the rails in the fact that the Warriors travel with a lot of people, and a lot of people locally that don't normally show up for Hawks games were in the building, so there was a lot of atmosphere going on here. And of course, in old school Atlanta fashion, there was an immediate clock function in the first quarter of this game with no shot clock for a while. It was Ryan Cameron announcing the shot clock, and apparently Bob Rathman was doing the same on the broadcast. Sort of a throwback homage to the old Phillips Arena there, so I appreciated that as sort of a deep cut. But in terms of the actual game itself, the Hawks had an ugly start. They committed 7 turnovers in the first 7 minutes of this game. That's as bad as it gets offensively. It was a 17-6 margin at that point in time with 3 threes from Steph Curry. And In the entire first quarter, the Hawks finished with 9 turnovers. They actually shot the ball pretty well in that first quarter. They just couldn't overcome the fact that you can't make 9 turnovers and really survive in the NBA world in a quarter. And the end result of that was a 17-point deficit. In fact, Steph Curry scored 18 points in the first quarter. The Hawks had 17 points in the first quarter. So Curry outscored the entire Hawks team for 12 minutes. And Curry actually only played about 10 minutes out of that 12. So a pretty staggering thing there. And honestly, for good measure, Kevin Durant had 10 in his own right. The Warriors did not commit a single turnover. Comparing that to the 9 that were committed from the Hawks, pretty ugly there when it came to sort of putting that together. It's not really hard to figure out what transpired in that first quarter. The Warriors shot the ball pretty well, but honestly, it wasn't all about shot making. It was about them taking care of the ball and the Hawks not taking care of the ball, and that was sort of the pivot point when it came to the first quarter. There was a nice run from the Hawks to open the second quarter with, I believe it was 19-11, to get back within 9 points. John Collins had a nice, like, strange half-hook, half-jump shot kind of 12-footer that he made that I thought was an interesting wrinkle to his game. I'm not sure that's sustainable, considering that's sort of a low percentage look in general, but I thought we shot it with confidence. Trae Young got in the lane very well in the second quarter, which is worth pointing out. Finished well at the rim. You know, after the game, I asked Lloyd Pierce about Young's finishing at the rim. He did mention that they weren't all that happy with Young's passing and decision-making when it came to stuff around the rim, but he was able to sort of get wherever he wanted to get in the second quarter. Really, for most of this game, Young was able to get in the lane kind of whenever he wanted to. Wasn't all positive, but also wasn't all negative either. That's something to keep in mind. The Hawks got within 7 with about 3 minutes to go in the first half, but a nice 12-5 run from the Warriors sort of I want to say put the game away, but definitely put the margin back into a more comfortable margin for them. Actually, Steph Curry routed out a 3 at the buzzer that would have put the Hawks down by 17. Ended up being 14 at the half, which was manageable, honestly. But the Warriors shot 50% from the floor, 47% from 3, and 100% from the free throw line in the first half. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant had 49 points in the first half, only 47 from the Hawks. So that kind of tells the story in its own right. Atlanta actually shot the ball well in the first half, 51% from the floor, but only 1 of 12 from 3, and had 14 turnovers. So that's kind of a bad recipe. A 119 defensive rating from the Hawks in the first half, a 92 offensive rating, and you're going to lose pretty much every time when it comes to that offensive output. Did have 14 points in the first half from Trae Young and 10 from John Collins, but Young had 6 turnovers, and we'll talk more about him later. The Hawks did briefly get within 9 early in the third quarter. It was Amari Spellman playing center for a second time, playing alongside Vince Carter, something to monitor there. Spellman did not play at all at power forward in this game. 2 very small stints at center, but the Hawks sort of went with a different rotation than they normally would. In fact, Alex Len only played 4 minutes, only played 1 stint. So the Hawks went with a bit of a smaller rotation, which makes some sense against a Warriors team that was not really playing 2 bigs very often, if at all, in this game. So just something to keep in mind there as we move forward is that Spellman was playing exclusively center and not very much in this contest. The Hawks got down by 24 points, as much as 24 points in the third quarter. Did battle back a little bit. There was a nice 3-point play from Jeremy Lin late in the third quarter, sort of giving them some momentum a little bit in terms of the home team. But all told, the Warriors shot 13 of 17 from the floor and 3 of 4 from 3 in the third quarter. And the only thing that really saved the Hawks from really getting blown out big time in that third quarter was the fact that Golden State committed 7 turnovers of their own. Not quite as bad as the 9 the Hawks committed in the first quarter, but the Warriors didn't really take care of the ball in that third quarter. Also, it would have gotten pretty ugly in a hurry. In the fourth quarter, the Hawks did have a corner 3 from Kent Bazemore in the air with the chance to cut the lead to only 14. At one point, that didn't fall, though, and instantly, almost, the Hawks were down by 21. That was pretty much the end of that. Trae Young and Jeremy Lin did play together for the first time all night long, midway through the fourth quarter. Didn't really matter too much there. Jeremy Lin didn't play much in the first half as he was sort of getting his sea legs back. I believe actually 6 minutes in the first half. But after halftime, he played a lot. Actually played 16 minutes and 40 seconds after halftime, including what I believe it was the final 9 minutes of the game, as the Hawks were pretty much in full garbage time. Just nice to see Lin get some more run there. I asked Pierce about just having Lin back and sort of the stability that brings. That's something that he definitely mentioned, was just having that safe presence when Young is struggling a little bit, or if they want to go with 2-point guards. Just not having that drop off behind Trae Young is a big thing when it comes to Jeremy Lin. And I thought he played well after sort of a slow start in that first stint that he played in the first half. He was sort of his old self, and getting back to his old self when it came to his shot making in the second half. Got to the free throw line 5 times, and good to see him playing well after the break. So, aside from that, the fourth quarter was pretty much all garbage time. There was very little doubt after the first, I guess, probably 2 minutes of that fourth quarter, if there was any doubt at all. And it was pretty much a working margin between 25 and 15, somewhere in there, when it came to the entire fourth quarter. So, all told, the defense was not great here. Actually, Pierce did mention, and I asked him about this after the game, that he didn't think the defense was bad in this game. And I kind of agree. It wasn't a disastrous defensive performance from the Hawks. Some of that's just Golden State making shots. For instance, Kevin Durant had 28 points on 13 shot attempts. He's just absurd. Steph Curry is the same way. You can't leave Curry at all open. He had 30 points on 17 shots in 29 minutes. Klay Thompson, 27 points in his own right. So those guys combined for 85. That's going to do you in a lot of the time. But defensively, I thought the Hawks were not good, but they weren't bad. I mean, you expect 128 to be an awful defensive performance. I wouldn't say that it was. It was pretty competitive for the most part. But Golden State did make 59% of their shots. 54% from 3 is going to get you beat a lot of the time. And even with 20 turnovers that the Hawks were able to force here, they still couldn't hold Golden State below a 121 offensive rating. Offensively for the Hawks, not too much in the way of positives. We'll talk about some individual guys later, but not too much in the way of positives there. 5-26 from 3 is going to get you beat a lot of times as well. The Hawks just cannot find their range from 3. It wasn't only Trae Young who was 0-5 in this game. Kevin Herter was 0-2. Vince Carter was 0-3. Guys are just not making shots. The only guy on the roster that made a significant amount of threes in this game was Torian Prince, with 3 of 6. Everybody else, Bembry made one of his 2. Bazemore made 1 of his 4, but just wasn't much going on from beyond the arc. It's not all that. The Hawks did shoot 49% from the field in this game, so they were actually, as I'm looking through it now, they were 39 of 64 from 2-point range, which is very good. Just got to make threes and not turn the ball over, and the Hawks failed at those particular aspects in this contest. So there's plenty to talk about from this game, I will say. We'll come back to that in a moment. But before we do, and we talked about the individual stuff in this game, but before we do that, I want to talk to you about the good folks at Action Heat. This episode is sponsored by Action Heat, and Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing, because heating on demand at the touch of a button is a very, very cool thing when it comes to clothing, and you can control your environment altogether with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels. They're similar to a heated car seat. They can reach up to 135 degrees, and they have a lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours. 12 hours of heat on your clothing is pretty impressive, and they can actually be recharged. They can actually use sort of that same battery to recharge your phone and gadgets while you're wearing them, which is pretty impressive as well. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list, especially if you know somebody that's always cold, or if someone that works outside, or maybe someone that skis or snowboards in their free time. Anybody that likes to not be cold, this is a good spot for them. Action Heat Clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat, who also, and they also have men's and women's clothing for both. So you kind of, this kind of fits for anybody that you're looking for, and you can make winter activities more enjoyable. It's not been quite as cold in Atlanta recently, but there were a couple of cold snaps recently. And if you live somewhere else besides Atlanta, I'm sure it's probably colder times. And even in Atlanta, there are a lot of people that I know, especially that like to stay warm in the semi-cold. And this is a good spot to go ahead and purchase something from them from Action Heat. And heated products that fit in everybody's budget are available at Action Heat, starting at just $39.99. So we have a special deal for our listeners to save 20% off of your entire order. Go to actionheat.com/lockedon. Actionheat.com/lockedon. Check out everything that Action Heat has to offer. One more time, that's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code locked on at checkout to save 20% on your full order. So stay toasty warm with all that you want to do in terms of outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast today. Okay, we're back to talk about individual stuff as we always do in this game. And off the bench, not a ton going on in terms of overly positives. I mentioned Jeremy Lin before. Slow start to the game for him, but definitely played well after halftime. 14 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists for Lin in this game. And in the second half, it was 12 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. So most of his work was done in the 16-plus minutes that he played after halftime. You know, sort of skewed a little bit given the fact that he was playing pretty much the entire fourth quarter with not too much on the line. But, you know, Lin was probably the one guy that was playing well offensively during that run. So good to see him back on his feet. And he's definitely a very important part of the rotation at this moment in time. DeAndre Bembry was a nice bright spot as well. 11 points, 2 rebounds. Did have one stretch where he had 3 fouls in about, 3 minutes or so. He was hacking up Kevin Durant at one point, but Pierce did praise his defense after the game. We're talking about Bembry at this point in time. And Bembry is someone who the Hawks can use in a variety of different ways defensively. Offensively, he's not the most consistent guy in the world, but actually he was pretty good in this game. I thought he played pretty well off the bench. Bazemore, sort of a rough night for him. Kent Bazemore, 3 points, minus 23 in 19 minutes, 1-6 from the floor, 1-4 from 3, just kind of pressing a little bit, had a couple of bad turnovers. The Hawks didn't go back to him very much in the second half, which I thought was noteworthy. You know, part of that's Kevin Herter was playing well in this game, but, you know, Bazemore, someone, especially if Prince misses some time, you'll probably see Bazemore back in the starting lineup, I'd imagine, for a while. If not that, he'll be playing a much more outsized role than he has been recently, but he didn't play well in this game, I didn't think. The only other guy off the bench to play more than 10 minutes was Vince Carter, sort of surprisingly, but not also that surprisingly because of the way that I mentioned before that Warriors kind of play small. Vince is sort of the small ball four of this roster right now, at least in terms of his primary role. 17 minutes, 2 of 8 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3. It's tough to play Vince when he's not making shots, and he wasn't making shots in this game, but did have 4 points, 2 assists, and a rebound. Elsewhere on the bench, there really wasn't much going on. Amari Spellman played only 8 minutes in this game. I thought he was pretty bad. It's a bad matchup for him, to be honest with you. Defensively, especially against the Warriors team, he's kind of hard to hide him a little bit. And offensively, he didn't really bring much to the table. A pretty quiet night for Amari in small stints. Both Alex Lynn and Miles Plumlee played 4 minutes each. Lynn is going to have those nights. I think we've now seen that a couple times now. It's all matchup driven, but if the Hawks go to a smaller lineup, Pierce has been pretty consistent now for 2 or 3 times, cutting Lynn's minutes and not Deadman's or Collins's or even Spellman's. They've gone to Lynn less, and that's something that I can understand, even if Lynn is playing well. But in this game, he was pretty much invisible in four minutes and just never came back in, so sort of a weird spot for Alex Lynn. And finally, Justin Anderson, 4 minutes, all garbage time there, 4 points for him. But a little bit surprised to not see him in this game. It's probably a good matchup for him, all things considered. I probably would play him over Carter at this point in time, just in a vacuum, but I also understand I wanted to play Carter a little bit in this game, kind of keep things even-keeled for your young guys. Vince is a nice, steadying influence. But other than that, I think Anderson's just a better player right now, so I'd like to see him play a little bit more than that, but I also understand the decision. Moving on to starting lineup, there were some more bright spots here. Dwayne Dedman actually played a little bit better than he has in the recent past. 6 points, 10 rebounds, 4 steals, a block, and an assist for Dedman in 31 minutes. I didn't think he was great by any means, but after a few games in a row where he really struggled mightily, I thought he was awful the other night in Oklahoma City, for instance. Good to see Dedman just kind of playing his solid two-way role more often than not here in this game. Torian Prince, I mentioned before, left this game late. Lloyd Pierce was not very happy about the call, so I guess the non-call there, but we'll keep you abreast of what's going on there when it comes to Prince's injury. At this point, I would be surprised if he played Wednesday. The Hawks have been pretty consistent. Even if guys can probably go, they've been holding him out, and I think with the way that looked and the way that it felt after the game, I think Prince probably won't be playing on Wednesday. It's just my guess at this point. We'll keep you updated on that in terms of the actual official stuff moving forward. But I thought Prince was... Especially in the first half, I thought he was pretty bad defensively, especially sort of a couple of ghastly moves. Did make some shots in this game, but I thought defensively it was kind of frustrating. Was turning it on a little bit in the second half before the injury, but not a great game for Prince altogether. Kevin Huerter had a couple nice moments here. 10 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and a block shot. Pierce praised his play in this game. Some fun with plus-minus in this game. You know, both Young and Huerter had nice plus-minuses, whereas Lynn and Bazemore did not. It's not always, I would say, the most leading thing in the world. I think misleading is probably the best way to put that sometimes when it comes to single-game plus-minus. But, yeah. One of those things where Huerter actually played pretty well in this game, I thought, both ends of the floor. A couple nice moments. Had a very nice pass early on in this game. I just continue to like what I see from Kevin Huerter on a nightly basis. Just not a ton of force always, but I think Herter's just skill level shines through. He's a good athlete, and you see that on a regular basis now, especially as he gets more comfortable. Trae Young had 20 points on 20 shots, which is not terribly efficient, but, you know, 0-5 from 3. His three-point percentage is now down to 24 on the year. At some point, he's going to have to make shots. I keep saying that on almost every podcast at this point in time, but he's just going to have to make shots. Otherwise, he did get to the line 6 times. He got into the lane quite a bit in this game, a couple of nice finishes, and the fact that he was able to get to 20 points without hitting a single three is actually probably a good sign. The passing and decision-making was not as good as it normally is here. 7 turnovers, only 3 assists. I don't think Pierce was very happy necessarily with the overall package from Young, but, you know, as usual with him and rookie point guards that are his size, I mentioned this before a couple times, I know, but I was talking about a little bit on Twitter today. I don't think that people understand really what the baseline should be for Trae Young a lot of the time. I think if you go back, and something we said all summer long, both before the draft and after the draft, is that rookie point guards that are small, like his size point guards, the last time I could think of someone who was actually good as a rookie at his size at point guard was Chris Paul, and that's like an absolute no doubt Hall of Fame kind of guy. Most guys his size do not play well as rookies, and he's playing a very large role. It's worth pointing out again because he of course won the Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month on Monday and probably should have won it. I mean, it's not a situation where on a permanent basis he's been probably the best at some different points. Obviously the metrics don't love him and all that stuff, but for a guy who's playing 30 minutes a game or so, putting up real counting stats, it was kind of a no-brainer that he was going to win it, especially in the Eastern Conference. You know, if it was a league-wide award, he would not have won it. It would have been Luka Doncic who won the West, and I'm sure guys like DeAndre Ayton, even, you know, Jared Jackson, guys like that would have been, maybe Shai Gilgeous-Alexander would have been ahead of him. But in the East, it's kind of Young. You have Colin Sexton, maybe Wendell Carter. So I wasn't, surprised to see Young win that award, but just kind of up the talking points a little bit of what he's been able to do and not do so far. You know, yes, he's a bad defender. Yes, he's not been very efficient, but he's still generating a lot of points and a lot of assists, and a lot of times that's going to be a lot of what you're looking for when it comes to awards. So just pointing that out a little bit as we talk about him in this game. I thought it was a night where he had some really good signs off the dribble and around the rim as a offensive sort of score finisher type. Didn't pass as well as he normally does, and defensively, actually, I thought he gave pretty good effort. It's a bad matchup, obviously, for Trae Young and really anybody with Steph Curry. I didn't think that Trae was terrible defensively by his standards. He was certainly not a plus by any means. He was definitely a minus, but in terms of when comparing this to other games, I think he probably played a little bit harder, a little bit better on defense in this game than you might imagine, but still not a good performance from there. So sort of an up and down game, as a lot of games will be for Trae Young, but there it is with that. And finally, John Collins was the biggest bright spot in this game. A career high 24 points and 11 rebounds for John in 30 minutes, 11 to 14 from the floor. It didn't feel like he was dominating in this game, I will say, but at the same time, he was really efficient. You know, 11 to 14 from the floor is very, very good. And honestly, he probably should have had the ball in his hands more. He was the one guy who you could kind of reliably give the ball to in this game and kind of expect to have a bucket. I guess him and Jeremy Lin in the second half, that was kind of the only guys I could probably say that about. But Collins was really good in this game. Another strong performance from him. You know, 30 minutes, can't really say too much more about that. I wanted to end on a high note, and that's why I ended with John Collins. He played very well, and it's a good sign for him moving forward. So, you know, all together here, this is not a bad loss for the Hawks, obviously. They lost by 17 points at home, which is not what you want to see. But if you're taking a straw poll of what was going to happen in this game, I think this is a pretty common result. You know, Vegas kind of probably low shot this a little bit with, I believe it was only 11 when the game started. 17-point loss isn't great by any means for the Hawks, but they put, you know, outside of the first, I would say, 8 minutes of this game, they actually played pretty decently against a much, much better basketball team than they actually are. So I think it'll be a nice test on Wednesday. The Hawks play the Wizards on Wednesday night. The Wizards are reeling. That's a home game. That's a very winnable spot for Atlanta. And if they don't win that game, it gets kind of rough again for the schedule makers. But we'll see how the Hawks fare in that spot. I am planning to have another podcast between now and then, but I wanted to at least point that out, that that's the next game on the agenda for the Hawks. Highs and lows, but some nice performances from John Collins, Kevin Huerter, I would say Jeremy Lin. Those guys all played pretty well, and that's not a bad, you know, it's one of those things where you have to look for positives, look for negatives in this game. There were plenty of negatives, but also plenty of positives, and in the end, the team with the three best players on the floor by a wide, wide margin won this game by many points. So that's kind of the easiest way to put that. So thank you for listening to the podcast today. I really appreciate it. Please forgive the background noise as I am recording live from the arena. I figure you guys will probably appreciate that sort of on-the-scene look at things. So if you guys don't, please let me know that as well. But please subscribe to the pod. I really appreciate that. Please tell your friends about the podcast, and we will see everybody later on in the week.